You probably know the sutta where the Buddha talks about the two acrobats. They get up on the end of a bamboo pole, and the assistant gets on top of the teacher's shoulders, and then the teacher says to the assistant, "Okay, now you look out after me, and I'll look out after you, and that way we'll come down safely from the pole after we've done our tricks." And she says, "No, I have to look after myself, and you have to look after yourself." The meaning, of course, being that if she makes her sense of balance strong, it'll help him keep his balance. So by keeping your balance, you assist one another. And so the message there, of course, is you do your practice properly, and it's helpful to other people. However, the Buddha goes on to say that by helping other people, it also helps your practice. Unfortunately, he doesn't give an image. But you might think of it as when you polish a mirror, your reflection in the mirror becomes brighter. He talks about four qualities that are important to bring to your relationships with other people that are helpful to you. They're endurance, harmlessness, goodwill, and a mind of kindness or sympathy. When you develop these qualities in your treatment with other people, they're going to come back and help your meditation. For example, with endurance, if you have trouble enduring other people's faults, you're not going to be very patient with your own. Now, patience here doesn't mean that you just sit with them and say it's okay. It means you don't get worked up, and you look at them frankly, and you look at them with the idea of maybe saying there's some place there that I can make a difference, but I have to be very calm about this. It's the same with endurance with other people. The Buddha's not saying you simply put up with other people's foibles. You put up with them, you don't feel like you're threatened by them, but at the same time you look for the opportunity when your mind can be calm and balanced in the face of other people's faults. Then the opportunity to see something where something could be changed, or a comment could be made where it would actually have a good effect. If you learn how to treat other people that way, it's going to be easier to treat your own defilements that way as well. One of the main problems you often hear in meditation circles is that if you tell people to change, or they have to change, they get really upset. They get very critical of themselves, get very upset very quickly. You have to teach them how to learn how to accept themselves. That's true up to a point. You have to accept the fact that you do have your faults. But you have to accept that with a calm mind, so that you can actually see where your faults can be improved on, where they can be turned into something good. So in this way, by showing some endurance in your dealings with other people, you're going to develop some endurance in your own meditation, a positive kind of endurance. Think of it as the endurance of a warrior. The warrior is not just giving up with the battle. The endurance of a warrior is there so that the warrior can eventually win. But the warrior has to put up with a lot of hardships, a lot of harsh words, painful feelings. But it doesn't just sit there. After all, you're here for victory. So when you find yourself getting irritated by one another, remember, okay, endurance is a virtue. It helps you see clearly where something might be positively changed. All too often we think of patience or endurance as a weakness. The people who have to put up with things because they can't do anything else. That's not the Buddha's attitude. Remember, he was a noble warrior. So you have the endurance of a warrior. You're looking for victory. But it means you have to put up with a lot of negative things and not get knocked over by them. Similarly with harmlessness. You want to be very careful about how you treat the people around you. And the Buddha says, basically, when you're doing harm to others is when you get them to break the precepts. Of course, this will help you keep your precepts as well. Goodwill and sympathy, or goodwill and kindness. These are the attitudes you want to bring to your dealings with others, because they allow you to have goodwill for yourself and to be kind to yourself and to realize what kindness is. It doesn't mean you just indulge yourself, indulge your whims. Kindness means that you, when you're treating someone else with kindness, you see where they have work that they have to do, and you want to help a little bit here, help a little bit there. Do favors for one another. Now, don't do it in a way where you're showing off. Sometimes the secret favors are the nicest ones. You see, there's a job that somebody else has to do, and then they're tired. Okay, you look for a time when you can sneak in and do it, and then get out without their having to know. But they will see that the job is done. And that creates a better mood in the group as a whole. And as you learn how to sympathize with other people's desire for well-being, it makes it easier for you to sympathize with your own. You realize that other people would appreciate your skillful actions, and you learn how to appreciate yours. This is an important principle in the practice. When you're sitting here breathing, sometimes it gets mechanical, and it feels like a chore. You have to remind yourself, you're here doing something skillful. You're getting the mind to settle in. You're giving it the opportunity to be sensitive to what's going on in the body, what's going on in the mind, and to learn how to develop some skill. If you can appreciate your skill, when you have just the right touch as you adjust the breath, and you learn how to enjoy that, the meditation becomes much more pleasant. It goes deeper into the heart. And the Buddha talks about trying to develop a sense of ease, a sense of fullness or refreshment. Sometimes it's there, but we don't appreciate it. And when we don't appreciate it, it just kind of sloughs off and it doesn't have that much of an effect. But if you allow yourself to appreciate your skillful actions, then it begins to soften up the mind, soften it up in the sense of making it more sensitive. And when it's more sensitive, things will open up inside that have been closed. You'll often find that when you're working with the breath energy, there are parts of the body that seem to be recalcitrant. They don't respond to your efforts to make things comfortable. We work around them. The reason they're not responsive is they've learned how not to trust you, that you've been abusing them by pushing energy here, pushing energy there, often subconsciously. But if you make it clear, okay, you're going to treat them now with kindness, you treat them with gentleness, it'll take a while, but eventually they'll open up. And you learn this principle in your dealings with other people. You learn how to be kind to other people, even people who have been difficult. Especially people being difficult, you want to be very sensitive to what ways you might do a little something for them here and do a little something for them there. At the very least, it softens your attitude, and it very well may soften up theirs. And so the benefits of treating one another with kindness will seep back into your own mind, seep back into your own meditation. I was reading a while back some stories about the Paiutes. They talked about how important it is to listen to the land. But they also realized if you're going to get some message out of the land, you have to give something to it. One of the stories I really liked was that if you wanted to get a message from a stream, you find a nice rock to put in the stream. And the same principle goes with your dealings with other people. Learn to be generous first. Generous with your endurance, generous with your harmlessness, generous with your goodwill and your kindness. And the results will come back in two ways, one from the other people, and two, in your own dealings with your own mind. Because all too often the problems we have in dealing with our own mind is that we picked up bad ways of interacting with other people, maybe from our families, maybe from friends, maybe from the media. We bring them in and we treat ourselves in harsh ways, because that's the kind of treatment we've seen around us. But when you consciously try to bring these attitudes of endurance, harmlessness, goodwill, sympathy or kindness in your dealings with other people, you find that you start dealing with your own mind in that way as well. And that makes the meditation go a lot better. You can put up with dry periods in your meditation, not feel defeated. You can develop the attitude that you just keep at the meditation, not get discouraged. And when things do go well, you learn how to appreciate it. So the meditation becomes more of an activity that you really look forward to. And you do develop the kind of sensitivity that's going to be an important part of your discernment into suffering and its causes. So the outside helps the inside helps the out. Sometimes Theravada is criticized for being focused solely on getting your mind in shape and not caring about others, but that's not the case. From the Buddha's point of view, there is no clear line between the goodness you do to your own mind and the goodness you do to others. They nurture one another. So try to develop goodness in both directions.